I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu, and just like the Raptors, the show is back to full strength. Josh, you have returned from the other side of the world.
It's good to be back. First, thanks to Katie and Alex for holding it down while I was gone. But yeah, it's wonderful to be home. Thailand, Malaysia, Sydney, Australia. It was a wonderful time, thanks to the great people of those countries. And it's hard not to be thinking about Australia now that I'm home, but yeah, it's great to be back. Had to talk Raps.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you have missed several games you've been away. So I've decided to catch you up on all these games. And in classic Willu fashion, there's just going to be points.
Perfect.
I don't want to write full paragraphs. So December 25th, you were away.
Yeah. December I flew game. At like noon. It was crazy. So, you know, like many Raptors fans, dreamed of having a Christmas Day game.
Yep.
Turns out we book a trip across the planet the same year that the Raptors get their first Christmas Day game.
Yeah, big traitor. Anyway, so the Raptors lost, though. I mean, it's okay. You picked a good one to miss, man.
Oh, perfect.
Third game in four nights, and Jaylen Brown was snapping.
Jaylen Brown?
He had like 30. He was hitting crazy. He crossed up Rondé at least 2-3 times in that game. It was one of those nights that just didn't have it. But 28th, the Raptors play the Celtics again in TD Garden with like a very shorthanded roster.
Oh, revenge this was game. The revenge game. And yep. Tony Brothers went crazy and you freaked out on him on the...
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just me. I mean, Jack Armstrong delivered like an A-plus performance there. But O'Shea Brissett plays most of the fourth quarter.
Oh, my God.
And Pat McCaw almost has a triple-double. Like, and not even like a Rudy Gobert triple-double with screen assist.
Did Nick Nurse walk out with the guitar and just say, I told you so?
There is actually pretty good open gym footage from that game.
From the game.
Anyway, so that's a win. December 29th, they lose. OKC, one-point game.
Yikes.
Shea was basically unstoppable.
He's been unstoppable since I've been home.
Yeah. No, he's been great. And also Chris Paul traveled on a play where he jumped up in the air with the ball, came down with it. Somehow nothing was called. Kyle Lowry snapped. No, Kyle Lowry was guarding him, swatted the ball. The ball was temporarily loose. Anyway, at worst, it should be a jump ball. Okay. You can't jump up and down with the ball. It wasn't called. And Chris Paul, whatever. It's a loss. Then, Christmas Eve. Or not Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It's Cleveland. So obviously it was
a win.
A win. I barely watched that game. And Kevin Love threw a tantrum.
On the court?
He's
been throwing tantrums.
That was the one that, probably the last one he did.
You know what he's doing today? Listen to that Eminem album.
While rewatching The Joker?
Exactly.
He's like, man, I really identify with The Joker. Me, an extremely handsome NBA champion with $300 million.
Yeah.
January 2nd, they lose to Miami.
This game, everybody lost their mind. They like shot like 0 of 40 or something.
It's literally the worst three-point shooting outing by the Raptors in franchise history. 6 of 42 from three.
That's
Kyle and Fred alone combined for like 20 threes and made attempts and hit like three. Their best 3-point shooter that night was OG Anunoby.
That's not a good sign.
But they bounced back. Yep. They beat Brooklyn on the road. It was Rondé's birthday. And that's also nice. Kyle Lowry punked the whole team.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing this on Twitter as well. People were like, oh, don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
Well, he like had a crazy fourth quarter or something?
He just punked the crowd. I mean, he got into a fight with Jared Allen when Kyle Lowry almost pulled the Kevin Love move on a rebound. And then that's when the bear was poked. Really, the bear poked himself is what happened
the
there.
The poked bear?
January 7th is a loss to Portland. I don't know how they lost this game. Carmelo had a great game, but also the Raptors led for all but 17 seconds.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
One of those games.
Yeah.
Did Dame have like a great fourth quarter or
something? He did. Yeah.
That's the thing. The Portland Trailblazers team is bad, but Damian Lillard can still like put up 17 in the fourth quarter and just win. It's like, what happened? Oh, Dame scored 18 in the last 10 minutes. Well,
yeah. And he was hitting like 35-footers exclusively. And then the last game you missed, January 8th, the Raptors win back-to-back. They go to Charlotte. Actually, a surprisingly lit game. They won in overtime.
Overtime in Charlotte?
Yes, I know. They were shorthanded, let's be real. Oh, but they made a big comeback in the fourth quarter. The bench almost blew it. The starters come back in. And then Terrence Davis has a career game. And also, Pat McCaw has like 11 assists.
Oh, I remember that. And Surge like screwed up down the stretch.
Yeah, but then he came up big in overtime.
Yeah, okay.
Had the game-winning free throw. So there you go. You're all caught up.
So great thing about being on the other side of the planet, the games comes on in the morning. So I've seen some things. Like, I didn't watch anything before New Year's.
Were you listening to the Raptors Over Everything podcast presented by KFC on the beach?
One time I did, yeah. We had one solid beach day where we just, you know, sat around and read books.
Yeah.
And I listened to the Brooklyn podcast.
Yeah. Well, that does it for the little recap.
So excellent.
As always, we're going to take your phone calls. You can hit us up at 416-263-8297, 416-263-8298. Let's get to our first caller.
All right. Samir from Toronto, you're on the line with me and Will. Samir, how's it going? Samir? Oh, did we lose you? Samir. All right. Stay on the line. In the meantime, we have Kasim from New York. Kasim, are you there? Hello. Kasim from New York City. How's it going?
Wow.
I guess people are like, wait, where's Alex Wong? I'm trying to run it back. Not talk to Josh.
I can't
blame them, though.
Anybody?
Hello.
Wow.
That's cold world.
Well, all right. So this is, this is unfortunate, but this is why we stack pre-prepared segments.
It's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
We can debut the KFC hotline.
All right, this is early. But yeah, so a new feature on the live call-in show. If you don't have the time to call in live, which, let's be real, I mean,
it's hard to do.
Between 3:30 and 4:30 is a hard window to get into. But if you would like to be part of the show, but you can't call in live, what you can do is direct message the Instagram account of Yahoo Sports Canada. You can leave a voicemail, and we will play a couple of the select voicemails.
All right. So the first one that we have, we'll talk about, I can't even remember which one's which, so let's just hit play.
Norman Powell is a... just wanted to know, do you think Norman Powell is a valuable trade asset since he's been playing, I mean, just out of his mind basketball as of late? Or should we just ride out the rest of his contract? Hit me up. Thanks.
Thanks to you. I don't know who that was or where he called from.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't select that one either. But, that is a fair question.
It's totally a fair question. And I'm of the opinion that Norman Powell is one of the best value players in the league.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would not go that far.
The contract he's on is in that tier that there are so few players. There aren't very many good players making the kind of money that Norm's making. He's making $10 million a year and will be in that range for the next 2 years with team control. Right?
Yep.
That's like Patty Mills money. And if you had to ask me, who would you rather have, Norm Powell or Patty Mills? It's like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
It's in that respect that I think that Norm Powell is such a valuable trade asset. Because he's on there's all these guys making a ton of money and all these young guys making nothing.
Yeah.
And I feel like every contract in that $9 to $16 range is one ending soon. Like, you look at a guy like Norm Powell who's making perfect money for any team.
Right.
But a guy like Norm, he is going to be... he's like making Terrence Davis money, or Terrence Ross money. I'd much rather have him than Terrence Ross.
Yeah. I guess the only question really is whether other teams are buying this from Norm. Because it's kind of weird to call it a hot stretch. I mean, he's played 29 games this season. He's shooting 51% from the field, 51% from three.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good. It's hard to stay hot over the whole year, especially after you've been hurt and then you come back and you're still as hot.
Absolutely.
So I think it depends on whether other teams sort of see and buy the change. But I mean, I'm kind of cool with either, to be honest. I think, regardless, I think what Norm has done is played himself into being an asset. And I don't think there's necessarily as much of a need to clear his contract as there was before.
And I think the reason I believe so strongly he's an asset, because he's played himself into an asset of which there are very few players at that dollar who are assets.
Yeah.
Like, Jeremy Lamb isn't really somebody you trade for.
No.
You wouldn't really trade for... look, I'm looking at them now. Andre Robertson, TJ Warren, maybe. Myers Leonard, no. Yeah, maybe. Tony Snell, no. Why would anybody... Satoransky is...
yeah, Corey Joseph.
Josh Kelly. Richardson. Like, there's not really any of these guys who are like... Are I think you could pair Norm with a decent draft pick and pull back an upgrade. Because he's that useful.
Right.
Anywho. All right. Samir should be back on line one. Samir, please be there. Hello, Samir, you're on the line with me and Will. Samir from Toronto?
Bro, where are you at? What's going on?
Samir.
Hello?
I don't think he's there.
All right. Well, that's cold world, it's unfortunate.
Man. Let's see if we have Vin from Alberta. Vin, are you there? Vin from Alberta, are you there? It sounds like you're close. All right. Well, we had that first call about Pascal or about it's all right. Let's take the next call from the KFC
all right.
hotline.
What do you think Pascal Siakam could add to his game tangibly in order to become a better overall superstar player? Mm. Whether that be tighter handles or longer range on his three-point shot, anything.
That's a good question. Will, do you want to start? I have a fairly simple answer. I feel like you have.
Yeah, I think he should just work. I mean, if he can get to the point where he's an elite off-the-dribble player, then I think that would help his game a lot. I mean, there's other things you could talk about. I think his playmaking is something that could, that could something be useful. Because, like, if you look at it, a guy who uses that many possessions, generally speaking, will create something for other players as well.
Yeah.
And Pascal's not a bad passer. Pascal's not an unwilling passer. Nope, but he's still, right now, most of the offense he's creating is for himself. So, it's just, yeah. So that's what I want to see from Pascal.
Yeah, I think it'd be excellent to see him become a more capable ball handler. I think once he's able to take guys off the dribble, it would be amazing. It's the last thing that.
Yeah. He's already kind of occasionally doing it. Like, he had that nice move against OKC where he posts up against Chris Paul, spins past Chris Paul, and then does like a Euro step in the lane and finishes calmly. And I'm just like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You can't just take that for granted. That's a really nice move.
I guess it would be I like to think it would be fun to see him become like a lockdown defender, pick up the team's best player at half court. But he's a great defender in space. He's a great team concept defender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd be fun to see. I just like when Pascal does Pascal things and, is long and wily and somebody's running on the floor here.
It's an active day at the office.
Yeah, very.
But, all right, let's try Samir one more time.
All right,
it still says Samir's still there, man.
All right, let's see. Samir, you are on the line. Oh, hey.
Oh, my God. Bro, we've been trying to talk to you for the last 5 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
It's
on our end. Don't worry. What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
I wanted to get your opinion on when Fred comes back, should Norm or him start? I think Norm should start. I think he's more confident. There's less pressure on him. He has better players around him. And also, I think Fred could stabilize the second unit. So.
Mm. Well, I'm pretty clear about where I stand on this, man.
Yeah,
I'd rather Fred start. But you know what, though? Norm has played it so well. He's played so well. It's undeniable how well Norm has played, to the point where I'm just like, you know what? He's a real chase. And, like, I'm not really upset if either one starts. Yeah. I would personally prefer Fred still. And I think it's easier for them long-term-wise. And, Fred's a free agent. Norm is under contract.
To have Fred start?
Yeah. Because you're not alienating a guy before you let him go to free agency unrestricted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also don't play a guy out of what your ability to pay him.
I mean,
I think he's shown what his ability is. Very bad for Fred to come off the bench.
I just think it's a harder sell, man.
Oh no, yeah. There's no way he's not going to be pissed off with that offer.
Another thing is Fred is in a contract year, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, if you look at the numbers as starters, they're not that different. Obviously, Fred plays a different role, but Fred's averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Shooting percentage is the big difference. Fred is shooting 39% from the field and 37% from three, so the three-point percentage is good. But
yeah.
If you compare it to Norm as a starter this year, Norm is averaging 17 points, 4 rebounds, only 2 assists. Obviously, it's a different role. They're just different players. But Norm is shooting 52% from the field and 44% from three. So it's just he's been more efficient.
And those numbers
scoring.
Don't really change when he comes off the bench. But his
I think it's a confidence thing.
I also think that like having Norm's bad defense in the starting lineup matters less than having it in the coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know. It's like people destroy Norm on his D. I know he makes mistakes and stuff, but he's a pretty good defender.
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
He's a good on-ball defender. He's pretty bad in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Fred is a better defender, but but Fred is also
Don't you think it's a hard sell, though, to tell Fred?
It's an impossible sell to Fred. It will make him upset.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fred's going to make like six more ASMR commercials for this.
One other thing, Patrick McCaw. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not going to go... Honestly, I think some of the fans are too hard on him. Like, he's a pretty good player, I understand. And all that stuff, but what does he have on Nick? I don't know, like, does he, like... Is it like he knows what really happened between him and Dwayne Casey, Nick Nurse and Casey?
Why would he know that?
Pat McCaw doesn't know.
I know I'm playing. But seriously, like, it's getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
it's not really that out of control. Nick Nurse likes to play with multiple point guards. One of his point guard, his better point guard, is injured, so he's playing his other one.
Yeah, this is the third string.
How about Terrence Davis? I mean, Terrence Davis is a stud.
He isn't, though. Let's be real about Terrence Davis. He doesn't bring it every single night. Yeah. Some nights he's amazing, that's and true. Some nights he's just invisible. Now I'm just saying, most nights McCaw is invisible. All right, yeah. I'm not saying that. I would rather prefer Terrence too, but I'm just saying. First off, this McCaw thing has gone too far, man. After the OKC game. Patrick McCaw was the number one trending topic in Canada on Twitter. They won the game. What the hell are we doing, man?
Not because of him either.
No, not – and like, yes, I get it. They blew the lead. But damn, man, it wasn't just him on the floor.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Come on, man. What are we even doing over here? We're rooting we're like just completely spoiled if we're focused that much on it. Yes, it's a perplexing point and you can get rid of it. Yeah. But it's also a problem that obviously fixes itself when Fred comes back.
Yeah, that's true.
If he's still playing 25 minutes a game somehow when Fred is back in the lineup – which is pretty much not possible with all the minutes that are supposed to be going around, then, yeah, maybe we can make him the number one trending topic. But, damn, like, this is just – that's too far, man. Come on. What are we even doing? We won the game. It was a great win.
They did win the game.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Samir, thanks for the call.
Yeah, appreciate you holding
on, thanks, man.
All right, be good.
Yeah, have a good weekend, guys.
All right, peace. Great. And now we'll back-to-back. We have Vin Baker in Alberta. Vin, you are on line two with Will and I.
Yo, what up? What up, people?
Yo, what's good?
Yo, first of all, Will Lou got a bigger forehead than got a bigger head, yo, than all of Dixon's foreheads combined.
Oh my god!
First of all,
yo, come on, man.
Yo, the Mad Love though, Mad Love. One of my favorite podcasts you did was after we lost to Cleveland, Game 1, 2018.
Oh
the way
man!
You just went in, yo, big shout out. I've been listening since, yo. But yo, first of all, man, I gotta say a couple things, man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Norman Powell real quick, man.
Okay,
Norman Powell, man, he gets some hate from Raptor fans. You know, obviously it's turning around a little bit because he's playing really well.
Yeah.
But Raptor fans, I'm sure you guys have touched this in the past. They have this thing with young players. So we all thought Norm was like D. Wade in like 2016 in the playoffs. And then we hyped that shit up. And then he came through the following year with the Bucks and all that. And everything was incredible. And then he kind of just stayed who he was for a while until, like, I would say this year he's been a little more consistent, although he's just hitting shots for the most part. Defense is still whatever. But I'm telling you right now, when OG is the same player as he is right now, just a little more refined, 2 years from now, all those cute OG, you know, not one-word answers, not going to be so damn cute anymore.
Whoa.
Raptor fans are going to turn on him. I'm just telling you right now. But
I thought they were going to do that this year, to be honest. And luckily, OG has been playing really well. So
he has improved.
But that is the thing.
You guys think about this. Where does this come from with Raptor fans? I think it's worse than any other.
We're just jaded, man. We're just jaded. Like, if you, I mean, I'm sure you watched the team for a while.
No, but we drafted three two guards who are very solid offensive players, who are bad defenders, and who don't play a very modern style of basketball. And DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross, and now Norman Powell. I think people are just sort of feel a little seasick with one of these guys who play these similar two-point oriented games. Norm Powell's just been a better three-point shooter than either of those guys were in their 10 years as Raptors.
Yeah, I'll explain.
Yeah,
I think to your point about Raptors fans being like generally more pessimistic than usual, I think it's one of those things where if you have like a really rough childhood, you're just kind of like, it just carries with you. Even doesn't matter what you end up doing as an adult.
Yeah.
You're just always going to be jaded and you're going to carry it with you. Like, think about how rough Raptors fans have had it as a franchise, right? Like, just like people not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
People like all these star players leaving, dissing the franchise. I mean, even low key, Kawhi leaving after a championship is kind of a slap in the face a little bit too. So if you just think about it, like there's just always, always this angst that like honestly kind of defines Raptor fandom.
Yeah.
And so people just kind of like, even the one things when times are good, like when you're a damaged person, even when times are good, you're still going to find a way to screw that up somehow. I think that's what Raptor fans do with some of the players.
And I do think that many fan bases would be really happy with a guy like Norman Powell, who
of course
is
he's a second round pick and he's making like $10 million right now, and he's giving you 20 points on like 10 shots every game.
Yeah, starting quality player.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, facts, man.
What was your second question?
I got one more thing. I got another side little topic, little comment, and I'm good, yo. But I appreciate the call, guys. But yo, first of all, second of all, yo, man, what's up with all this trade Serge Ibaka stuff, man? Serge is like, I know the on-off numbers, people like to point to that.
Yeah.
He's generally been an impact player. Like, low-key, if you look at the numbers, he was more impactful than Gasol for, like, most of the playoffs last year. But I know this year it's been whatever. But can we not trade Serge Ibaka, man? Like, come on, man.
I think the only reason people want to trade Serge is that he's unlikely to be retained by the team next year. And you could get something for him.
Yeah,
that's probably it, to be honest. Like, there's nothing about his play or the immense, like, Serge Ibaka will be a Toronto legend for the rest of his life. Like, what a wonderful personality.
Yeah.
It's just that he's a valuable asset. And, I don't know, Serge Ibaka might want to be traded to a team that could compete or, you know, provide him things that he might not get here. He's on a team with not that many tradable assets, Serge Ibaka is one of them.
Yeah, and also, people just need to indulge in trade season and make content, so that's pretty much it. I think people just, like, get used to, like, they like playing with the ESPN trade machine.
Yeah, who doesn't?
But realistically, it's not like Serge is a problem. We don't need to trade Serge. There's no need to trade him at all, so, yeah. And, yo, respect Serge, man. I mean, like, I was just watching the 26-3 comeback, Game 6, Eastern Conference Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks. Serge was on the floor for all of that.
That's my favorite game in Raptors history.
Serge was amazing in that game.
He was great.
Yeah. So respect Serge, man. Toronto legend forever.
Yo, for real, man. Big shout out to Serge, man. I watch that 26-3 run once a week, yo. Yo, appreciate the call, guys. Yo, Will Lou, yo, I'm glad he stopped stealing content from Real GM, man. Big shout out.
Yo, shout out Real GM. I don't want any beef with Real GM anymore, man. It's enough. Right, I appreciate the forum. All right.
Be good.
Jesus Christ.
He called out.
How he was in Alberta?
I have no idea where that was from.
He sounded like he's from West Toronto, that's for sure.
Now we have Tivi from Scarborough to talk about the rotation. Tivi, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Did I get your name right?
Yeah, it's Tivi. Perfect.
Tivi, pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure having you.
Okay, guys, so I know the playoffs are kind of far away, but I was just wondering, how do you guys think the rotation might play out? Because currently, Fred's not playing right now, so they're kind of, I don't know, playing like an 8-man rotation?
Yeah.
9-man?
Yeah, 9.
So once Fred comes back, we know top 7 is going to be starting 5 plus Ibaka and Norm, if they don't do any trades, of course. How do you guys think Nick's going to have the rotation?
I mean, the top 7 is pretty clear, as you said. And then it's really just about finding who else fits around that. I think, honestly,
it's Matt Thomas.
Matt Thomas will have his moment.
He's someone who can run out with any. He can be in a 5-man unit.
But yo, Matt Thomas playing playoff defense, that hurts me.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
That scares me a lot.
I remember
JJ Redick?
Okay, but can you see the thing where the Raptors go up 7, Matt Thomas comes in with the second unit, then the Raptors are up 18 and the game's over because he goes.
What, has that even happened in the regular season?
No,
yet?
But it's what he's around for.
Yeah, fair enough.
Matt Thomas is around to blow games open.
I actually think, honestly, Boucher could play a bit of a role.
Oh, yeah.
So I think defensively, especially if you, because they've been experimenting now with Boucher playing a little bit at 4 as well. Yeah. He's played a lot of 5, obviously, this season because there have been injuries with both Serge and Mark.
Yeah.
But I actually do think that if he played a little bit more at 4, I think he could be really impactful there. Defensively, he's really shown me that he can defend on the perimeter. He jumps at everything. But aside from that, like, he really is an impactful guy. His athleticism is off the chain. And he's like, he really does shoot threes like at a respectable rate.
Yeah.
Like, and he's kind of has no fear with it either. So I might even have him as like a maybe like 8th or 9th guy. And then, yeah, I mean, Rondé's tough in the playoffs because he's going to be scheme four, man. People are going to leave him alone. They're going to ignore him, and it's going to hurt the offense.
They already would be trash.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then Terrence Davis, who you could probably play when he's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, those three guys. If Chris Boucher can, like, his hands have shown up for work that day, and if Matt Thomas and – because sometimes Chris Boucher would be looking like
– Yeah.
Like him, Bismack Biyombo, Spider-Man meme, like who's who. That's out of control. But that's – yeah, Will's right. Those are the three guys who might have a shot at playoff minutes. But probably not many.
Yeah, I think they're going to ride the top seven pretty hard. And they might even play McCaw a little bit, man. I'm sorry to break it to you, but Nick Nurse is probably going to play McCaw a little bit. We're going to snap.
One more thing, though.
Yeah, no worries.
Recently the Raptors have been having kind of like fourth quarter meltdowns. And I've been noticing that, you know, their half-court offense is not really the best right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're a very good, you know, transition team. But in the playoffs, you're not going to get many transition buckets.
Yep.
So how do you think, like, right now they should be playing? Like, do you think they should – I mean, of course, transition buckets are, like, the easiest way you can score. But mm-hmm. do you think they should be focusing more on the half-court offense more?
I mean, they're not going to, like, intentionally slow the game down so they can practice half-court. But I think it is one of the things that they – that's the biggest area of concern. Because I think the first half of the season is established. The Raptors are an elite defense.
Yeah.
They can defend pretty much any team in the league, any style that any team plays. Yeah. Like, they're good with that, right? They're the number two defense in the NBA right now. It's everything is set. And honestly, they're so aggressive defensively nowadays that I'm like, when the time for the playoffs comes – I actually trust them to maintain that defensive intensity because they've been playing with that intensity all year. That's one of the issues where, like, previous seasons of the Raptors, they had, like, top 10 defenses by the numbers, but then they go into the playoffs and, like, it just wouldn't translate the same way. Offensively, yeah, that's been the big problem. That's been the big question, right, is half-court offense. I think right now they need to figure out, at least just in terms of just rotations, like, who's going to play with who to maximize the total amount of talent on the floor, who has chemistry with who. And that's something that's harder to do when you don't have everyone on the floor. I think it just comes down to a talent issue in a way. The Raptors don't have that much offensive talent, especially in a half-court setting, to create shots at an elite level. That's my personal opinion.
You're probably right. But I don't know. Even watching the game on Wednesday when they had everybody back, or most everybody back.
Oh, that was eye-opening.
It was like, it's not as bad as sort of I felt for... Everybody felt for weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they may end up with a top 15-ish offense. Like,
they should. Oh, no. They have the talent. They should be a top 10 offense,
and if they can get there, then how, like, you have 3.5 great playmakers on the court kind of at any moment with that playoff rotation.
That's true.
I'm not too worried about.
Yeah. Also, Pascal, offense. Please continue to grow and quickly, because that's the Raptor ceiling right there.
Yeah, it
Pascal.
Does feel
also,
like he's...
Also, Kyle playing at 2016 level.
Yeah, this is great. This is amazing from Kyle right now.
Yeah, hopefully his back holds. Like, not to like,
just stop saying this, man.
He's still playing a lot of minutes. I know everybody's been hurt.
He,
but he's still playing
he went down to 33 against OKC, which is nice to see.
Yeah, but you know, he's fucking old. Like,
yeah,
we can pay attention to his minutes and say, all right, as the calendar moves from January to February into March, in March, I'd like to see Kyle skip some games.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't think.
Well, after he makes the All-Star game, he
will. He should.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I'm just sort of. We should start to see Serge and Mark and Kyle start to get their rehab or their sort of maintenance games.
Yeah,
it's coming. It better come.
It'll come. They have a pretty easy schedule in April, especially. So
absolutely.
All right. Thanks for the call, man.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah. All right.
All right, man. Back to back calls today. We have Cashton from Toronto to talk about the NBA and Oscar movies. Cashton, you are on the air with Will and I. How's it going?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. First off, I called in a couple weeks ago, and I made some petty remarks about DeMar DeRozan. I have to apologize to that man.
Yeah.
I was at the game where he just absolutely murdered Chris Boucher. So
oh, my God.
Sort of apologized to him one time.
We haven't even seen Chris Boucher since that dunk.
I know. He just vanished like a ghost. But my question is, with the award race, you know, Golden Globes, Oscars coming up right now, I wanted to get your perspective on which NBA contenders for the title most remind you of one of those movies. I have a couple, but I was curious to see if there's a movie, team, marriage that you really like.
Okay.
What's your first one?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so I put you on the spot. My first one is the Houston Rockets are Joker. So, Joaquin Phoenix, James Harden, you know, really flashy performance, getting lots of accolades, MVP consideration, but ultimately it's an intellectual house of cards. Like, this thing comes crumbling down, and they've shoehorned in
excellent.
A marketable name, so Batman, Russell Westbrook, to keep fans interested. I think it's all a sham. It's going to come crashing down on the Oscars or the NBA playoffs.
That's pretty good. Do you have any off the top of your head?
I realize I'm looking at this list. I only watch Parasite.
Which
I'm thinking about what Parasite could be.
I want to make up one of these on the spot. Could...
It's like a small market team that ends up beating the big market teams, but then ends up being humbled as a small market team. And that kind of reminds me of the Raptors in a way.
Okay, wait.
That's
let's
a
try
tough one.
It's too
good a story.
Could the Irishman be the Spurs? So they're
why? Because they've been around forever.
They've been around for forever,
and it takes forever for them to play.
They have the amount of bodies or amount of houses painted by this team, unlike nobody else in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a team that beat Kobe, that beat LeBron, that beat the Mavericks, like one of the all-time great hit lists. But now that they're all old, it's very sad, and nobody wants to pay attention to their stories as much as they'd like to tell them.
Wow. It's pretty good.
I think you're missing the de-aging angle, though. I think, like, and this is way a little bit further back, but when Kobe was doing the blood spinning thing in Germany, the de-aging thing would have worked really great with the Irishman.
That's true, yeah.
Wow.
The other one I had, you know, not that anyone cares about marriage story spoilers, but the Philadelphia 76ers are marriage story.
Oh, yeah. So impending divorce. It's bound to happen.
Oh, for sure. And it's no one's fault, really, you know? You know, Ben Simmons on his own, kind of interesting person, quirky, fast-paced, kind of the ScarJo role. Joel Embiid, kind of grumpy, you know, doing the Adam Driver thing. I could go into the whole plot. It's eerily similar to what's going to happen with the Philadelphia 76ers. But, yeah, those are the two. The last one, though, was, especially in light of all, like, SLC dunk, you know, someone please pay attention to the Utah Jazz thing.
Yeah.
The Lighthouse is Utah Jazz. Which no one's seen that movie.
I've heard really, really good things. I have another one.
All the good things about the Utah Jazz, too.
Could the Nets be Jojo Rabbit? Like, there's a guy, we all kind of hate him. He has an imaginary friend who we haven't seen.
Wow.
I think that one might work. We have...
That comparison, though. Wow. Jesus.
I can't think of any other ones, but that was really fun.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You should make this a listicle and tweet it out. I'll give you a retweet, and with the real following, we'll complete it.
Yeah,
it's hard. The only one that really stood out. Once you get like deep into the plot of Marriage Story, like they have a kid, Matisse Thybul, they'll go west to LA in a trade. Like it all checks out. But I just want to again apologize to DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
You know, but Will, you did set the over under at 3.5 years for the rest of his career. So,
I think over still.
You think over three after
he's
this
so
year?
He's so skilled, yeah.
And he's still pretty, he's not that old.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right, great call, man.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Cashin. Yeah, great call.
Yeah, wow.
All right, we have Nick from Toronto to talk about a realistic trade target for your Toronto Raptors. Nick, you're on the line with me and Will.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How you doing?
Pleasure to be here. First time caller, long time listener, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So just wanted to talk about some realistic trade targets for the Raptors. You know, guys that the Raptors can go after that won't cost too much, but that would fit the team really, really well, especially with the system that we play. So I had three guys in mind.
Okay.
The first one is not so realistic, but I just think it's the most ideal fit. So the first one is Jrue Holiday. I just think he would fit the Raptors perfectly. I know he's probably a little bit difficult to get. I know the Pelicans are doing really well right now on the backs of Lonzo and Ingram.
Yo, they're balling right now. They're playing so well.
Yeah, they really are. They're playing both things so well, but Jrue Holiday would fit so perfectly with the Raptors. I'm just hoping he asks for a trade so we can make a move on it. Okay. The other two are Langston Galloway and Jay Crowder.
Oh, man, that's a big drop-off. Holy crap. That was not expected.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But I just think those guys, especially Jay Crowder, a really good 3-and-D guy, especially with the Raptors' system defense, I think he would fit in really, really well. Can come off the bench and hopefully take all of Patrick McCaw's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I just think those three guys are realistic trade targets that we can go after, you know, no more Drummond or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, that Drummond stuff really died down because it seemed like he was going to the Hawks and then the Hawks traded for Jeff Teague.
Yeah,
what the hell was that? So they traded. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know. They needed a backup. I guess
they missed him.
Jeff Teague got traded, for the pick that became Torian Prince, and then they traded Torian Prince for Allen Crabbe, and then they traded Allen Crabbe for Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
I guess they needed a backup.
It's like that Mario song.
They do.
If it's true love, if you let it go, they'll come back to you.
Oh, man.
I don't really like any of these trade targets. Yeah. I really like Jrue Holiday, and I think
I really don't think the Pelicans are going to let him go. I think the Pelicans we want to actually do something this year, which is kind of funny to me. But with Zion coming back, and they're like within striking distance of a playoff spot, like it's not that bad. They've been having some pretty impressive results recently.
Yeah, but they need Jrue Holiday. He isn't going to be available. I think he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And like a cool dude, like, you know.
Yeah.
Details of his personal life that we know, or he sounds great.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not.
Two-way player as well. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's available.
Here's the thing. I want the Raptors to get just another shot creator. Is that? You know what I mean? Someone who could do a little bit of everything.
What I want the Raptors to do is find a team with a recent high draft pick that they're not playing nearly enough and trade Marc Gasol for DeAndre Ayton.
All right.
No. That'd be hilarious.
It's a weird move to make right now.
Want a prospect. I want another prospect in this funnel. Like, I don't really want to see an established guy. It's just not what I'm up for. I'd like to see somebody with real sort of ability and talent come into the organization and see what.
Yeah, they could do that in the offseason, man. We're trying to win. We're trying to win again. We're trying to go back to back. And if they do that, they need a
playoff minister prospect.
They need a small forward who can create a little bit.
There's like none of them.
Like Kawhi Leonard.
Oh,
it would be great if we had Kawhi Leonard. We're guaranteed to win the championship this year. Kawhi, why did you leave?
I know, right?
You could have just take the whole season off and we would have won the championship.
Kawhi Leonard wins the championship. Exactly.
You could have just spent the whole year in Los Angeles.
Just come back
for the playoffs.
Really, just meet us in the finals.
Exactly.
You're going to guard LeBron. You're going to be fresh as hell because you haven't played basketball in 10 months. And it's going to be all good.
No, that's true.
Anyway, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, enjoy your weekend.
Ooh, okay. And then do you want to do some of the comments or do you want to?
No, let's power through. We're in a good groove right now.
All right, we have Hosier from Hamilton to talk about COTY. Hosier, how's it going?
It's Hosier from Hamilton.
Hosier? Hosier!
Yeah, bro. No, what's going on, man?
How's it going?
Yo, I'm not going to lie. They killed your name. They spelled your name like Nikola Jokic.
No, they spelled your name like that guy who sang Take Me to Church.
Oh, yeah.
No, with H, that's fine. That's okay. Yeah. But you want to talk about Coach of the Year. Who's there? How are you doing? Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm still driving.
All right. You got your winter tires on, right?
Yeah.
All right. No all seasons. That's not... Ontario winters are too serious for that.
No, I know.
All right.
All right.
How's it going, guys?
Good, good.
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. Okay, so I just wanted to ask you guys... In the beginning of the season, you know how you guys did that show before the season started?
Mm-hmm.
If someone said Norman Powell, Kyle Lowry, Gasol, Siakam, Van Vliet, who else am I missing? Ibaka, and we'll add Pat McCaw in there too, and Stanley Johnson. If they miss 8-plus games to the halfway mark of the season, Raptors would be basically have the exact same record as the Clippers. Would you guys believe that or no?
No, that's hard to believe. It is. Just because the depth on the roster does not necessarily warrant a team staying afloat.
Well, also preseason, Nick Nurse was saying, like, what am I doing with Rondé and Stanley? These guys are bums.
Yeah, straight up. They're like, they're defenders, and they don't defend.
Yeah, and Terrence Davis was supposed to be in the G League. Like, nobody's signing this coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
Well, like, it's crazy how, like, Nick Nurse can, honestly, 9 of the 9 players that were championship, you know, on the championship minutes were all injured or gone. And Nick Nurse is taking, as you said, a bunch of, not bums, but, like,
you know, unproven
players, obviously, And being the 4th seed, that's crazy. I think Nick Nurse should get, like, at least 2nd in Coach of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Who should be first, man? Look at him.
Eric Spoelstra was winning.
All right, I wouldn't be mad, man. You know, Asian excellence and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, Nick, at worst, should be 2. But I would pick him as 1, to be honest, man. First of all, I want to see if Miami can do this all season. I just want to know.
They always get schemed out in the playoffs.
Are they going to finish with 48 wins again? I'm not entirely sure. It's a long history of Jimmy Butler teams finishing with 48 wins or lower. And then the second thing is just like, also, man, like Nick Nurse, like, I just didn't think he got the proper respect that he did last year for a guy who won the championship as a rookie coach. Yeah. Because it wasn't like the Raptors were this like super team. It wasn't a Steve Kerr situation. Nick Nurse had to pull out some real moves to get them to win the championship. So I want to see if we get that recognition. And honestly, me and Alex have been saying this since like pretty much early November. Nick Nurse is right. Hashtag Nick Nurse is right. It's an unfortunate hashtag, but we're going with that apparently. But yeah, he's right. He's right for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, you people. No.
I totally agree with you. I think he was, because he had Kawhi on his team. Uh-huh. He got mistakenly, like, you know, like Steve Kerr, even though he has star players on his team, I think Nick Nurse has done a better job with role players than Steve Kerr has done with.
Yeah,
role players. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Steve Kerr is coaching a G League team right now, but...
Yeah. He got so many star players, right? Mm. So star players are the main reason why... It's like Mike Brown. Why did Mike Brown win Coach of the Year? Because of LeBron. Mike Brown got fired from 3 teams in the last, 10 years?
And they were all Cleveland.
Yeah. He got fired 9 games in with the Lakers. Like,
yeah.
And you have Kobe on the team, so it's not like you don't have a star player.
That's
some
true.
Some people know how to coach, some people don't.
Yeah, no, this is not a Ty Lue situation. This is, you know, Nick Nurse is a damn good coach, and he...
Yeah.
I would say he's already... I don't know. We'll see what happens the second half of the season, but with the way things are going, he's at worst top 3, which is pretty impressive, but I really do think he has a good case on number 1, man. Because Miami hasn't had to deal with injuries like the Raptors have. Like, yes, Miami's case is impressive. Exactly. They're young, whatever. Yeah. No one expected them, but still, they're healthy all year.
National media is dying to... do something nice for Billy Donovan, though. Because he was that great college coach, and then he came to the league, and then he was immediately doo-dooed on by everyone he coached.
Billy Donovan has the widow's peak from Lion's King.
I also think Billy Mike Malone has a shot. Like,
sure.
People, it's a good redemption story. Quinn's not, but that team's just not that good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, give it to Nick Nurse, man.
I do think Nick
Nurse. Do the right thing. Nick Nurse winning games with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Chris Boucher and Terrence Davis.
Yeah, it is true.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. Drive safe.
Right. Drive safe.
All right.
Take care, man.
Be good.
Do you think he plays Break from Toronto every time?
I hope not.
Yeah, okay.
We have Meninder to talk about the traits.
Or after operator.
We don't.
All right.
Bye-bye. That's okay.
All right.
Well,
we have a lot of comments to get to.
We do have a lot of comments to get to.
Yeah, let's kill them right now. So, from Jurassic, Marc Gasol's are... gasoline to our fast break offense.
Okay. Yeah, he's the great outlet passer.
This just reminds me of the Great Daddy Yankee song. But yeah, he's a great outlet passer and he's a great defender. One of the most important things about getting on the fast break is getting a stop. Marc Gasol is very good at getting a stop. Another one, McCaw is our Ben Simmons.
Fact.
Okay.
What's there to argue about?
Well, I mean, Ben Simmons was first overall and the Sixers waited a whole year for him. Meanwhile, we got Pat McCaw for free.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
But who got more rings, though?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pat McCaw.
I'd rather Pat McCaw shoot a 3 than Ben Simmons.
I agree.
That's something.
That is something.
Next one. Serge is committing too many fouls, unnecessary fouls, when things get tight.
Is it Is he always in foul trouble?
Not necessarily. But, I mean, I think this might be a reference to at the end of that Charlotte game, which you were not here for. But the Raptors were up one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hornets had the ball. They're trying to inbound the ball. And Serge Ibaka pulled on someone's jersey and got called for, before the play foul. So they got a one shot and the ball, and they tied the game. Completely changed the scenario of the game. Really, really dumb foul.
Yeah, that is a pretty
but,
dumb foul.
But, you know, to Serge's credit, he also made up for it. So
I don't know. I like Serge is the guy who takes a little bit off the table but puts a ton on. And I don't really mind. I think it's fun. Like,
yeah.
We talk a lot about this team being like an entertainment product. Serge is one of the more entertaining players the Raptors
most. Incredible content, really.
Yeah.
Tim Kim. Wow, that's a crazy name. Tim Kim is a crazy name. That's,
Timothy.
That's sick. Who do you think should get the last shot in close games? I love Kyle, but I don't believe he's clutch in the last shot attempts. Hard for him to make his own shot at his size. Thoughts? Yeah, man.
Yeah,
fair.
That's fair. But you're not going to give it to Norm Powell, who's probably...
Hey, man, he hit that game winner against Chicago. I know. That was an ugly game.
I think Norm Powell's kind of the answer. Like, he's big. He's a good three-point shooter.
Mm.
He can finish pretty well. Like, if it's not... like that, you can't do it.
He should be on the floor, really.
Yeah.
If you need a basket, I'm probably going with Mark, Kyle, Fred, Norm, and Pascal.
Yeah.
Sorry, OG. Even though OG's been hitting a lot of crazy buzzer beaters of late.
And sorry, Serge, who's like one of the most gifted players in the lane, but he's, I don't know.
DP23, okay, all right. Does the fact that Woj has linked Lowry to a move to Minnesota early in the year worry you that he could potentially be traded to give him Minnesota's need for a point guard? I mean, can we have Towns?
Yeah, there's... They don't really have a
trade. We're not trading Lowry to Minnesota, man.
We're not bringing back
Andrew Wiggins. I think what they were trying to say is Minnesota needs a point guard. They're looking for D'Angelo Russell. And if they don't get him, they may target other point guards. But that does not mean the Raptors will surrender franchise icon Kyle Lowry.
Just because you want him doesn't mean you'll get him.
Yeah.
Pain-causing samurai. Mm. Who for the wrench do you see developing into a starter?
That's a good question. I like that one.
Davis, maybe one day.
I think Davis could be a starter. Yeah, starting two guard. He shoots the ball really well.
That's it.
What?
That's it. Assuming we're not talking about the Norm Fred thing, because we talk about that every week.
Boucher?
No.
Yeah.
He's 27 years old.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Let's get to one of our favorites. Kate, line one.
Line one. Kate, welcome back to the show. Oh, no. Kate?
We got hype.
We got hype and now we jinxed it. Kate, are you here? All right, we'll double back to Kate.
All right.
We have Albert from Vancouver to talk about controversy. Are we going to talk about the impeachment trial? What do you think? Houston Astros or impeachment? What do you think?
Yo, the Astros story is incredible.
An incredible story.
It's actually an incredible story.
Every detail about
it. It's made me care about baseball again. That and also the Jays signing an Asian guy.
Yeah.
Who looks kind of like me. I'm not even going to lie.
You guys have the same, head. Okay, but let's talk to Albert in Vancouver. Albert, how's it going?
Hello?
Kate.
Hi.
We
crossed our lines. It's okay. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not too much.
How's the day going? Has there been a lot of firing up the trade machine today or what?
Of course. Do you want Jrue Holiday or... Who is the other
Langston
guy?
Galloway.
Remember when Langston Galloway got robbed?
It's not happening. Like, there's.
It's just not.
I just don't see that happening. And listen, any trades that somebody, and I'm not sure what the options are to, what we have to give back in return, but any trade that gives up OG is a non-starter for me.
Mm, I hear you. I've been seeing the tweets.
Yeah, we have been seeing the tweets, Kate.
We've been seeing the tweets. The timeline is filled with OG love.
It is pretty cleansing in a hard time politically. OG's love is good.
What's going on with you? How's your day been?
It's wonderful. Pretty good, guys. Pretty good. I've been obviously on Twitter and around about the association the last week, and something really stuck out at me, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it.
Okay.
So a couple of days ago, JJ Redick took to his podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the following: I really believe this, I think there are more guys concerned with getting a pregame fit on Instagram than they are worrying about the win and loss of a basketball game.
Mm.
So I got to thinking about, our guys and their Fitstagrams, and I did a little bit of research. You might be surprised to find out.
Not anymore, Kate.
Yeah.
And the results might be surprising, or they might not be surprising.
Okay. This is great. This is like one of those ads you don't want to click on.
Yeah, it's
the results will shock you. All right, let's click.
Okay. So I analyzed statistics from three different segments. Okay. I looked at the guys' Instagrams themselves.
Yep.
I looked at the Raptors' Instagrams, so the fits that they post on Instagram. And for this, because there's like 10 fits that they post, I went with either fits that were singly posted from a game.
Right.
Or from the, kind of the plane runway.
Oh, yeah, that's a special place.
Only the ones that made the main feed, obviously. I can't go back. Mm-hmm. And for purposes of this, I just took the one that was the very first photo, so the lead photo.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
And then I also analyzed league fits.
Okay.
As well. Okay.
Unbelievable look. I'm looking at some of them now. Some of the unbelievable looks.
Oh, they're great. They're great. I only went with the Raptors.
Yeah.
So, insofar as the, it will come as no surprise, the Raptor leading in both Raptors fits and league fits is Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, come on.
With 32% of the, for both categories, actually, 32% of the Raptors fits are Serge fits, and 32% of the league fits are Serge fits.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good.
A there's third of league fits is Serge Ibaka?
No,
not a third of. Oh, a third of Raptors.
Third of Raptors league fits. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So there's 22 league fit photographs from this season from the Raptors, and Serge has 7 of those.
That's really solid.
Yeah, fair enough. He is basically a model. Yeah.
Very high.
Yeah.
Coming in sort of in a clump in second place, Pascal, Kyle, and Rondé are sort of tied between 10 and 14%
Rondé
in
makes
both
sense
categories, Raps and league fits.
Yeah, Rondé makes sense. Kyle.
Rondé makes.
Kyle sense. Wears kind of basic outfits.
Yeah.
Kyle well, listen, and OG Kyle, same level of drip. I find.
I don't know about that. OG's pretty high on the drip scale, in my opinion. In fact, I was surprised to find out how low. OG's fits do fall on these categories, but I think it's because he doesn't like getting a photo taken. But Kyle had a big bump up due to the time that he spent on the bench, and
a lot of those
photos he was actually in with Serge. So.
Oh, okay.
But Kyle was going nuts on the bench. Why did
Kyle was going nuts?
All these guys have a chain of their own logo.
Man, when I saw Fred VanVleet had a chain as a second-year player that said Fred VanVleet on it, and it looked like the Millennium Puzzle from Yu-Gi-Oh! I just...
That was rough. But Kyle's 7 chain is the...
That looks good.
It looks great.
Yeah, it looks good.
Well, it's like sort of a KL7, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. That was his logo, personal logo.
No,
it's a great logo.
It looks great.
Then, we kind of have everybody else clumped in and around the bottom. The one... Raptor that was not represented on League Fit was
guess?
Freddie.
Oh, Fred wasn't?
He was not on League Fit. But you know who was?
Matt Thomas?
Drake.
Oh, really? Oh, that sucks.
With 3 fits.
Oh, that is pretty rough.
I think he's actually tied with Kyle, Pascal, and Rondé. And one could be, forgiven if the lay person did not know the difference between those two superstars. So I was interested from there in taking a look at how this sort of compared to Windshare.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, I'm so glad you went there.
Okay.
Kate, you really do go to the next level. All right, lay it on me.
And it should really come as no surprise that... The Raptor with the lowest win share is also the Raptor with the highest proportion of league fits.
Oh, man. Wow. All right.
Oh, all right. So
J.J. Redick was right?
But he's not right about everything.
Hashtag J.J. Redick is right.
In an Uber. J.J. Redick can teach me nothing about etiquette in an Uber.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say about the lowest, because the lowest is actually Stanley Johnson, who I think actually tries maybe the highest. He has the highest, like, try hard of getting off fit with his sunglasses on the sidelines. Oh, and they never actually land.
I like his fashion.
Because nobody cares. So do I.
We have a segment where we tell him what to do, not playing basketball. Jeez. He shouldn't be a league fit.
Fair enough.
And then, you know, the Raptors with the highest win shares are Kyle, Fred, and OG. And those happen to be the three Raptors, or two of the three Raptors with the lowest overall Instagram presence of all, with OG with two posts per this year and Kyle with three. These are guys who are, you know, I don't think they're more concerned with getting a pregame fit on. Mm. There's one final account that I analyzed.
Okay.
And, you know, while you could say in this league that there's some basketball players that are more concerned with getting a pregame fit on Instagram than they are worrying about the win and loss of basketball games, you could also say the same about journalists.
Oh,
who,
my God.
Are more concerned with getting a pregame fit on on Instagram than they are worried about quality journalism.
Right.
I analyzed the Will Lose fit.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And there are 15 posts, fit posts, out of 15.
That's...
are just are specifically fit posts. Okay. 100% of the fit posts on the Will Lou Fitz Instagram account are of Will Lou's Instagram fit. And so, Will, I just want to ask you this. What do you think of this information that you're being presented? Does this surprise you?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely me on that account and not someone else who is close to me and puts photos of me up on the internet. No, I mean, I think honestly, it's not even that surprising, to be honest.
I think there are a lot of bad teams, and a lot of bad teams have players who have nothing more to look forward to in their day than wearing a nice outfit.
I actually do think that some people have, especially if you aren't doing that well as a basketball player, you have probably more of an incentive to, like, at least
become a social media
viral. Like, that's like it's a whole Kyle Kuzma corollary.
With them at all giving, like, you know, caring about what they wear. You know, we all dress up to go to work, and if it makes you feel a little bit more confident in your day, then I think that that's a good thing. But, you know, the last thing that I wanted to mention here, just sort of on the journalism line, was, you know, so J.J. Redick gave this, you know, controversial take. Earlier this week as well, Pascal had a take whereby he said that the most painful part of being out for him was that he had to get dressed to sit on the bench. So, you know, he knows that Serge and them probably enjoyed it, but for him it was painful that he'd had to find an outfit every single game. So this is clearly a guy that this is not the top of his mind. Going back to, you know, sort of creating headlines, do you not think, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but do you not think that Josh Lundberg would be interested in tying this controversial remark in with J.J. Redick's remark to get some clicks?
Wow.
You don't have to comment.
Oh, wow. I would just say Josh Lundberg has a lot of fits.
He does have a lot of fits.
He has some bright colors.
He does have a lot of fits, and he has a lot of takes.
He has takes. Yeah.
All right, Kate.
All right. Well.
All right, guys. Well.
It's good to hear from you.
That's it. Pardon me?
It's good to hear from you.
Oh, it was good to hear from you guys too. I had a topic to discuss last week, but it was too difficult to get through.
Oh, wow.
You guys are really popular these days.
Apparently, we glowed up now.
Yeah. All right.
All right. No. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Have a good one. All right. Bye. Peace.
All okay, right. I think that probably does it for calls.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks to Kate for calling in. But before we go, we have to give our style and suggestions.
Yeah.
It's really the signature segment. Actually, we have also one more KFC hotline message to get to. But before we end the show with that one, let's get to our style and suggestions.
Yeah, so this week, the beginning of Winterlicious, a restaurant festival here in the city.
Mm-hmm. A lot of great restaurants
A lot of great restaurants have great price-fixed menus. That's what I recommend to do in the city. But beyond that, I actually wanted to recommend that if you have the means to donate to the fire recovery in Australia. I spent 2 weeks away. A week of that time was in Sydney. It's a wonderful place, a beautiful country, really fun people. But the continent's on fire, and it's no joke. So if you have the means to donate to WWF or any charity doing work in Australia, I'd recommend that to Stanley and to everybody listening. Will.
All right.
Will's going to add that.
Really put me on the spot. Wow. So my Stanley suggestion is not altruism. My Stanley suggestion is tobogganing, which is a popular winter activity. The weather forecast for this week in Toronto calls for a lot of snow. And so tobogganing. I mean, I feel like, this is it's not an exclusive to Toronto by any means, but it's a very quintessential Toronto experience to go out tobogganing with your friends, especially if you were like 12 years old or something.
Is there somewhere you want to suggest that Stanley goes?
Yeah, I mean, he should probably go to like Christie Pits. It's probably the best place.
Iconic. Yeah,
it's yeah. Nice. There's a lot of kids there. It's just fun. You know, you put on your winter gear, you slide, you're doing something, you're outside. You know, maybe you go to Koreatown afterwards to get, something warm, like a pork bone stew to warm you up after being cold all day.
Go to the Owl.
I mean, there's other ones other than the Owl. I'm not going to lie. When Alex suggested the Owl, I was a little surprised. There's some better Korean restaurants there. But, a shout out to an OG classic and the Owl. I'm sure that was big when Alex was in his teens 40 years ago. So that does it for the podcast. But before we leave, we have one more KFC hotline message. All right. Someone called in, evidently a little bit frustrated with Pat McCaw. This is the message.
I hope it's his.
And hate Pat McCaw and how he has to throw a bounce pass.
Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
Yeah, sorry. The message originally is just.
And hate Pat McCaw and how he has to throw a bounce pass instead of a chest pass every single time.
But to you, it sounded very familiar. A voice you've heard before.
It sounded like someone that I also known from Etobicoke, which you guys can ask, you can decide for yourself.
And hate Pat McCaw and how he has to throw a bounce pass.
Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
It really does sound.
Anyway.
It was recorded live from the State Queen. Anywho, that's the show.
Oh, God.
We've had a great time.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to KSC for sponsoring the show. And yes. We'll be back next Friday and every Friday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.